I think I'm not connected.
Hallelujah. So we want to appreciate Mommy. God bless you indeed in Jesus. And we stand before your presence to adore your majesty. We make our hearts into words and we adore you. For you are full of mercy. You overflow with grace. And we worship towards your temple as we magnify you. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you quicken us, strengthen us, reinforce us, make us able to do your good pleasure, that your name might be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated in the house of God. So there is a new ventilation of the spirit that is coming on the continent of Africa. We are about to fulfill the prophecy that is hanging over us for many, many generations. And God is pouring out His grace. There is a fresh baptism of the Spirit coming on the body of Christ. And God will be galvanizing His people so that we can fill the gap of missionary manpower and bring witness to all nations as touching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, yesterday we were looking at a policy that God intends to implement in this day and time, how that He bypassed a generation of priesthood and He stretched forth His hands to begin to raise another priesthood that will represent His name and His interest. We saw the snapshot in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 7, which is revelatory of the state of the young man. He was quite a novice. And God is not looking for professionals. He's looking for novices that are willing to align themselves to His heart so that they can become the infrastructure that He possesses in order for Him to implement His counsel. The young Samuel was a novice. He had not yet known the Lord. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. He was destined to know the Lord, but at this point he had not yet known the Lord. So you will need to be able to discern the Lord in order for you to receive the word of the Lord. Right? So we now branched off to begin a support course. The support course is designed to equip us with what it means to know the Lord, what it means to discern the Lord. The moment you gave your life to Christ and the Holy Spirit began to tabernacle your human spirit, He has been communicating with you in spiritual language, because it is the faculty of your spirit that is calibrated enough to be able to receive the frequencies of God. Okay, maybe let me explain. Where's your handset? What kind of phone is this? iPhone? No, I don't know iPhone. I don't. Yeah. What phone is this? Viva is. What operating system is? It's Android. Okay, so I can work with this. So this is Viva phone, and it runs on an Android operating system. You realize that if we reduce the volume a little, just a little. Oh, leave it. you realize that without inserting a SIM card into this phone, there are a few things that we can do based on some softwares installed in the phone that do not need internet service to operate. So this phone can be a radio, and then you play your messages, connect your earpiece, and it is providing service, right? This phone can be a calculator based on the software that is installed therein, and you don't need network to run a calculator. So there are several functions that are inherent that you don't need the network to drive on this phone. All right? But you see, you did not buy this phone because you were in need of a calculator. Neither did you buy this phone because you were in need of touch light. And all those functions are available on this phone. All right? The ultimate purpose of this phone is realized when you insert a SIM card. The SIM card understands the language of algorithm that the GSM network that it represents operates on. So we can take advantage of the potential that is inherent in the GSM network to send text messages, to receive text messages, to send voice calls, to receive voice calls, to send internet chats, to do internet calls. You tap into the potential that is in the network to achieve that. And that's what happened to you. Before you gave your life to Christ, there were many things you could do. Among the things that you could do was not inclusive of tapping into heaven's network. You were shut down from heaven's network. In fact, you didn't know that anything, any activity was going on in the divine supernatural until the SIM card, which is the Holy Spirit, was inserted in your recreated human spirit. And the proof that that SIM card is available is that it hooks you up to network. And that's what the scripture that we were reading yesterday speaks about. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The word "see" there, I said, it is eido, which is to recognize things by reason of senses. We established that you had spiritual senses before you were born again, and the Holy Spirit just came to furnish it, to vitalize it, to make it functional, to make it effective. And the presence of the Holy Spirit gives us perspective about the dimensions of the operations of heaven. And I said yesterday that the proof of life is consciousness. So if you are not conscious of the realm of God, it means you are not living in the realm of God. You are not following. Now, I want us to get the basics before we begin to trace the path in scripture. It is your consciousness of the realm of God, and it's the Holy Spirit that brings the consciousness of God into your vessel. And you are supposed to take advantage of that consciousness, just like the SIM card takes advantage of the network. That's how you take advantage of the consciousness that it brings in your vessel. And that consciousness is the consciousness of the things that are obtainable in the realm of God. Now, your growth, your dependence, your dexterity in the use of that consciousness is going to determine the quality of your Christian life. There are several things I can do with that consciousness that many of you here can't do. That's the reason why I'm going to stand out. Alright? Meanwhile, there are people that can do things with that consciousness that I cannot do. So those people are going to be more relevant in achieving several kingdom things than myself. Are you there? So help me ask your neighbor, what can your prayer achieve? Your prayer. We're not trying to measure your life. If there's a situation and what is available is your prayer. Because your prayer life is one of the revelations of your capacity to use that consciousness. Because prayer is not something that you can achieve with human energy. You achieve it with divine energy. It means you are taking advantage of spiritual capital to prosecute prayer. So what your prayer can achieve is an illustration of how much of that consciousness you can put to work. The average believer is not discipled properly. You cannot become a prayer marshal without being trained to pray. Now, when you find military people, you know, anywhere in the world, there is a way they operate. It is the discipline that they have been subjected to that makes them like that. They were not born like that. There is nothing in your spiritual capacity that you are going to assume just naturally without putting some very definitive kind of effort. So in all of our vessels, for those of us that are born again, the presence of God is situated. But many of us live life outside of the investment of the presence of God that is upon your heart. That's how you live. You do not live on the resources of God's investment upon your heart. And the implication of that type of life is that you are going to be insufficient. Because that's how God created life in the flesh. He created life in the flesh to be insufficient, so that if you stay in the flesh for long, you will desire sufficiency. Then he now puts sufficiency in himself. You are not following me. Alright, let me get a few scriptures. Maybe the scriptures will enlighten us. Alright, let's begin from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning from verse 5. Since it's a morning session, I'll try to teach. Try to teach for a moment. I tested the ground yesterday, and when we went high, yeah, I saw that you have invested spiritually in this ministry. So I touched your investment. And if we had flowed on that tangent, many people will be wounded because we are compact. All right, so there are several things we will not do in this conference until maybe we have a bigger space. Then we can demonstrate the things we are talking about very practically. So we'll do a little. What will not injure people, we'll do those ones. Yeah. Like miracles can happen without. So we will do all of that this evening. Okay? Mighty investment. And I pray God that you will be focused. Now this is what the Bible says. Is it not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think anything of ourselves? There are two things here. In ourselves and of ourselves. This is how God created us. He created us very terribly insufficient. And that's why the Bible says that the Spirit of God is the personnel that is designed to help our infirmities. You see, infirmities is in plural. It means you are a bag of limitations. And God designed it that way because He made up for all your limitations in the sufficiency that is in the Holy Ghost. That's God's way of trapping us to understand that no man is complete outside of his handle in the Holy Ghost. If you try to operate on the resources of your flesh, which many of us do, you will attain to your least potential. You struggle throughout life. And people are so used to struggling that that's how they think life was designed. But your struggle is the proof of the fact that you are operating in the realm of insufficiency. You have not yet entered, you are not taking advantage of the network. Now, the Spirit of God that is inside of your heart is the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And it happens to be that the greatest problem of a man is death. So the Spirit of God solved the greatest problem. Then God now gave you the same Spirit that is capable of solving the greatest problem of man as the operating system of your Christian life. If he could raise somebody from the dead, he can solve the problem of sickness, of poverty, of direction, of affliction, of causes. But the extent of liberty you enjoy is the degree to which you have discovered how to take advantage of the consciousness that the Holy Spirit brings in your vessel. For Jesus said to Nicodemus that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So when you are born, meanwhile, that was Jesus' definition of what it means to be born again. You are opened up to a consciousness that connects you with the realities obtainable in the realm of God and in the eyes of God. That is what you need. When you are connected to the realm of God, in the realm of God, everything is settled. His word is settled. His counsel is settled. Alright? So they are not trying to heal people in heaven. Are you? They are not trying to deliver people from poverty in heaven. So the resources that are in heaven that is responsible for the tranquility, you have access to it through the Spirit of God, and you can access it to make up for your insufficiency. Now, if there is no proof in your life that you have defeated insufficiency, it means you don't know the Holy Ghost. You are an orphan. That's what the Greek calls you. And he calls you orphanos, which is the Greek word from whence orphan was derived. You are an orphan. You have no caretaker. You are wandering in the wilderness of life without support. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. So you can now understand what the psalmist meant when he says, I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. I will look unto the hills. I will need to seek help beyond me. So that's the tradition, that's the culture of a spiritual man. He never sees any advantage in the resources of his flesh. He's looking perpetually to the hills, to the provision that is coming from the heavens, which is in the person of the Holy Spirit that has become user-friendly on the account that the Holy Ghost tabernacles in his heart, so that he has a stronger possibility of acquaintance with the Holy Ghost than he has with his wife. You can know the Holy Ghost much more than you know your wife, because your wife doesn't dwell in you. Your wife dwells with you. Now, but the average believer has not invested to know the ways of God, because we think that God is a button. God is an errand boy that we release to release fire on people, destroy people. We do not understand that in the New Testament, the prayer of Moses is answered. And now, the Spirit of God is one with our spirit. In fact, the theological name of the system that secures the environment and the reality, the organic reality that your spirit enjoys now, is the mingled spirit. And I don't want to go into all of that theology today. Hallelujah. Now, I got that idea of the mingled spirit from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. If it's true that you are experiencing God, then you'll be seeing scriptures that bear witness about your healthy experiencing God. If your experiencing God is healthy, there are some scriptures that will never be relevant to you all the days of your life. Because you did not grow enough for the Holy Spirit to use those scriptures to bear witness about your current state in the Spirit. Your compliance, your alignment, your knowledge of scripture is dependent on your growth. As you are growing in God, some scriptures will be bearing witness with your current experiences so that you will be established in them. And I'm saying that you can study the whole Bible, as I encourage you do. Huh? But you see, not every scripture will be relevant to you. Even though you are studying mentally the whole scriptures, not every scripture will be relevant to you. Scriptures will start becoming relevant as you begin to make progress, strides. You don't want to be fake. Because If you stop making strides in the spirit, you are going to fossilize. God is dynamic. God is progressive. The kingdom of God is advancing forcefully. There's something God wants to do. And if our generation doesn't align with Him, it's okay. He will not stop. He'll be looking for people that are willing to go on with Him. And that's how churches become irrelevant. Because you can get to a point where you feel that you have arrived at satisfaction. And that was what you were seeking in the first place. So when God moves, you are no longer interested in His movement. Because you have consolidated around His previous emphasis. He moves and then you fossilize. You fossilize because you did not interest, you were not interested in the first place to follow the Lamb wherever He's going. So you have built a fortune out of emphasizing that prayer is insignificant. And the reason why God did not fight you was because the church was not yet ripe, ready to carry the burden of prayer. So there were other things He was doing to consolidate us. But the day God now stands up and says, all right, it is time for territorial takeover. The estate of the earth will have to be committed to people that can manage God's property, seeing that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Then the emphasis of the spirit of prayer, which is one of the major fabric of dominion, begins to spew out. And then you have made a fortune by de-emphasizing prayer so that people are burning low and they are depending on your prophecy. You have given them crutches to be walking on destiny crutches so that you are the only champion that is not crippled. And you built a congregation of 100,000, 50,000, 80,000 with that scheme of things. You will be on the stage of light as long as what you are doing is not in direct contradiction with what God is doing. The day He decides to begin to emphasize what will de-emphasize you, if you don't move, you become obsolete. You become a man that is fighting God. And indeed, God can fight. Check your Bible. You will see the fights of God. He doesn't lose. Yeah. So if you are not in vital connection with God, I assure you, you will soon be fighting God. Because God is going to move into a position where what you are doing is contradictory to what He's doing. Because you are not following Him. So if you can be obsolete, it means that you are not taking advantage of the GSM network. It's very good for you to take root before you start ministry. Take a lot of root so that you'll not become a fortune teller. Manipulating people. A time will come you need to go and import spirits, evil spirits, to help in the manipulation. Because there was no tap root in what you are doing. You will serve Satan in the process. You must serve Satan. You can, that thing you are doing, you are just that activity, demons will soon help you. Because you don't have a vital link to the consciousness, to the network. And meanwhile, you have a desire for self-actualization. You have a desire for impact. You have a desire for breakthrough. Meanwhile, you have no link with the personality that helps infirmity. Let me not take you far. Let's go back. So, as I was saying yesterday, the first education that the Holy Spirit brings when He comes around your life is that He brings the impartation of what we call the knowing of revelation. I did a teaching some time ago, and I advise that you look for that tape, and I spoke about symptoms of spiritual health. Symptoms of spiritual health. Go and look for that tape. One of the symptoms of spiritual health that I prescribed in that disclosure is that if you cannot receive knowings from God, it means that you are suffering from a state of disalignment. A state of disalignment. I think I need to tell us fully, in the light of Romans chapter 4, 5, and 6, the way we are structured as men. Are you there? All right. Are you still with me? Now, watch this. When you go to Romans 4, Romans 5, Romans 6, you're going to see a terminology called the flesh. The flesh. The flesh. One of the meanings of the flesh is falling. Falling. The resources of the fallen man. All right? Anything that can go on in your life apart from the support of the Holy Ghost is flesh. Your reasoning, you can reason as a man, but your reasoning has already been tainted by the fall. Your reasoning without the support of the Holy Spirit in inviting you to come think his thoughts. That's your human reasoning that you use to study physics in the university. That's your human reasoning that you use to study economics in Harvard. Are resources of the flesh. You can actually achieve great things with such resources. You go to China, you see what human beings have done. Not because they have God. Just the resources of the flesh. The flesh can achieve. The flesh can produce. And it will entrust you to know that the flesh is to Satan what your spirit is to God. The flesh is the infrastructure that Satan rides on when he wants to accomplish something. Your spirit is the infrastructure that God rides on when he wants to accomplish something. So if the investment that you have received is in the spirit, then we need to emphasize the workings of the spirit, because that's going to be the context where your reality is bound. Are you there? But you see, the flesh and the spirit are concurrent realities. That means they exist at the same time. Are you there? Now, when Satan wants to get your attention, he will ride through your flesh. And through the resources of the flesh, he will entice you. And the reason for the enticement is to draw your attention and to make you see the profit that you can draw by engaging the flesh. Are you there? All right, so if you decide to engage the flesh, one thing is guaranteed. You are going to have some pleasure, because part of the advertisement that Satan puts on the table that makes you interested in the flesh is the possibility of pleasure. The possibility of some form of advantage. Just like he comes and he tells you that, you know, if we do some deals in the office, you're going to get some advantage. So the devil, through the flesh, advertises some form of advantage. Some form of pleasure. Right? And because of that pleasure, a lot of people are bound on that plane. And they don't hope to explore the possibilities that exist in the realm that God is inviting them to be participants. Hallelujah. But if you are going to begin to function from the Spirit as your default operating system, you need to operate like Moses. The Bible says that he... Okay, give me that scripture. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25 to 27. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 25 to 27. Choosing rather. Alright, give me 24. 24 to 27. So that we get the full picture. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, he was gaining some, as long as he bore that identity, his life was assured. His, you know, resources will come to him. In fact, I read historically and I found out that he was being taught to become the Pharaoh of the kingdom. Yeah, so in Egypt, their culture is not like ours, where you are sent in line to a throne just because you are from the male side. You can also come from... So it's a big societal concept that is a bit different from what we practice in West Africa. So he was being tipped to be Pharaoh. There were advantages that were lined up if he decides to sustain that identity. But he refused. Now, there's an active involvement at this point in order for him to latch on to the possibilities that abound in God. Meanwhile, in the flesh, greatness was still available to him. So, do you realize that, like, I went to Manchester and I saw Etihad Stadium, the place where we watch all those leagues, okay? It is massive. And when it is full, and the people shout for a goal, it's like the sound of many waters. And then come to think of it, those guys were not gathered because Jesus was in the center. I don't want to press further because no need to press further. You can do great things in the flesh. Great things in the flesh. Because you are in outright compatibility with the enemy just because your operating system is flesh. And it's a concurrent reality. It is available to you. You can switch from the flesh right now, from the spirit right now, and connect to the flesh. So you will see that when Peter picked from heaven, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In the same discourse as he was going, Jesus rebuked him and said, "Depart from me," said. He had moved from the spirit. Just standing on one spot, he transmitted from somewhere, he moved, he transmitted from another place. But if you are going to be a man, why not be? Are you there? Hallelujah. If you are going to be a man that the Holy Ghost will trust, that God will trust, you need to do what Moses did. He refused. So be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That means he rejected the flesh with all of its advantages. Meanwhile, the flesh was setting. What the flesh held for him was setting. There was nobility. There was honor. There was wealth. There was stardom already built into the flesh. And he refused it to journey with God into the unknown. I think you need to be crazy to be able to do that. So the flesh has an established city. But only prophets will journey into the spirit. They will journey into the unknown. Only prophets will do that. Every natural man is likely to be looking for breakthrough. It's the flesh that puts you on that journey. Every natural man is trying to look for an advantage so that you can tell your neighbor, that person that is tempting me with that phone, I advise you. It's an advice. You did it twice, it means not a mistake. You do it again, I will speak to you. I will speak to you. Hallelujah. You can't go to the shrine and misbehave. Some of us know God. That was how I went to Sokoto to preach. And I gave them instructions. And somebody at the back insulted me. And the person became dumb. He lost the ability to speak. We finished the meeting I was going then. When I had a reason for another prayer. I said, well, I don't know how the person became dumb. I didn't ask anybody to be dumb. If you became dumb in the proceedings, it means you know where the fracture came from. I wanted to escape. They say, please, you know this thing. So we have to pray for that person. So don't mess up here. Don't mess up here. Don't mess up here. Because you will not go free. When you go, you have not gone close to God. That's why you can. Not here. So I warn you for the last time. Now, only a prophet can deny an existing state of security in search of something he was not sure of. It was a consciousness he was following, something that opened. Because if you look at this story from the natural, you will not have any reason why Moses would make this choice. Now, read for me. Read for me. Next verse. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. I told you that the flesh will offer you pleasures. It's just that it is momentary. It's not lasting. But there is some profit that is rooted in itself that he offers. So the guy refused. He accepted affliction. Because the people that were in God's side were being afflicted at that time. He removed himself from every form of immunity so that he can become subject to the same afflictions. He decided to deny and to reject the pleasures of sin that was for his sin. That's what the flesh does. It gives you seasonal joy. Seasonal stability. It gives you a seasonal breakthrough. Yeah, you violated the principles of God, compromised the ways of God in order to attain that. And you testify. Meanwhile, Satan did that in order to seduce your soul to lure you into perpetual darkness. But he gave you a season of respite where you could testify. Only people that can see beyond this will journey in the wilderness in search of him that is invincible. Yeah. Next verse. Verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. He knew that in following God, there's going to be a regime of reward that heaven was going to mete out unto him. You know, the Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. So he had his heart on the recompense of the reward. It means this guy that is navigating in God doesn't see results initially. What keeps him going is the witness he has in his spirit. But the guy that camps in the flesh is camping with seeming security. But unknown to him, it will only last for a season. So when you find a man obeying God, at first it looks like foolishness. If you are not careful, you despise him, you curse him. And there's a great likelihood that when the seasons of recompense opens up, you that cursed him because he didn't look beautiful enough, he didn't look promising enough, will now want to identify him with him in the season of recompense. That's the heart of a terrible man. Don't ever. See, God will give you enough opportunities for you to see the heart of men through the seasons that he allocates for you to walk. A man that rejects you in the time where all that makes you consistent is what your spirit has seen. Then he rejects you then. Huh? That's the state of his heart. If he repents and comes and says, oh, bless him, but don't walk with him. Bless him and say, no, I have nothing against you. Go and prosper in what you are doing. Be elevated, be blessed. But, you know, I've been in ministry long enough to know the difference. Right? When you are navigating in the spirit, it will look like foolishness that you made the wrong choices. That you cannot, see, you were around greatness and you could not take advantage of it. Because people will preach with the words of the flesh to you. They will point to the greatness that the Spirit of God wants you to abandon. And claim that because you did not choose it, you are cursed. Can you walk with a consciousness that is forged in your spirit man and despise Egypt? So in this day of breakthrough preaching, a lot of fake people have risen. And all of them are camping on the platform of the flesh, trying to manipulate and to keep afloat and to show people that I'm not failing. You will be relieved from all of that responsibility if you are working with God. When you are working with God, you are relieved from competition. When you are working with God, are you there? You can decide to ignore people's comments. Because it's not that important. If you are so conscious of people's comments, it means you are not working with God. Because you will need to do something to protect the estate that the flesh has carved out for you. He esteemed the reproach of Christ. This is the analysis of the workings of spiritual reality on his heart. He had an evaluation principle. The revelations he had seen gave him a means by which he could evaluate and know what was weightier and what should be despised. Are you there? And God, when you walk with him, he will make you value the suffering that you are suffering for his name much more than what the flesh has to offer. And this will be also for a season. It will be for a season too. So many people left this place of reproach and promoted themselves to the place of treasures. And this is a proof that you were no longer hearing. You had embraced the flesh fully to achieve actualization with the resources of the fallen nature. And we just saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5. We just saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5 that all of the resources of the flesh are insufficient. That means by making that choice through mental analysis, you have entered into the insufficient lane. You know what happens to you when you are there? You are without backup, you are without support. It will take time, but after a while, your nakedness will be unveiled. All the symptoms of insufficiency will come back to the block because you departed from the path of witness that comes through the Holy Ghost. If you are not willing to be called a fool, you can't even serve Jesus. You want to shine quickly. You want to shine. You don't know that the one that is great is not you. The one that is great is the one inside of you. Right? So if you line up with him, he will take you through the path of greatness. And greatness, when it begins to yield, it looks like foolishness and death. So that no carnal man can embrace true greatness that comes from the Holy Ghost. No carnal. And the reason why God will pass you through the wilderness before he brings you to the spring is because to survive greatness, you need strength. Have you not seen that the scripture says he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than all their enemies? You will have enemies when you enter into greatness. And if you don't have the stamina of surviving the desert and the wilderness and the parched lands and the parched places, you will not have what it takes to survive the days when the light of his countenance fall upon you. Go back to Hebrews. I have not finished. Verse 27. This was the reason that Moses gave for the choices he made. 27. Are you there? By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. Now, are you there? He endured. He endured in the reproach. He endured in the shortfall. He endured in the unfortunate circumstance. He endured. Why did he endure? Because Because he saw him who is invisible. It was a consciousness. It was just a vision that he saw that gave him the impetus to survive contradiction. When you find a man that cannot endure, know that he became wise in himself. And he stopped looking to the hills for help. He endured. He endured. He endured. Because he saw him who is invincible. I made my choice long ago. I will never accept any man's remark about my life because he doesn't know what Jesus told me. Meanwhile, I was not poor. I was a research officer in the oil industry. My last salary was 1.2 million a month. My housing allowance was 15 million every year. I was not a poor man. I was not poor. I lived 4 steps below my wealth. You need to see where I stayed in Lagos. You need to see where I stayed. You know my house. You don't know my house. Where I stayed in Wadata. Okay, you know Wadata. That was where I stayed as a frontline oil worker at the depot. If rain falls, it flows into my sitting room outside. You know why I stayed there? It's because we needed money to push ministry. And I was the only one working. So I don't need an encounter from God to suggest to me that God had already settled those bills by giving me that job. I married the daughter of a professor, brought her into that place where water flows. And then you will look at me in that state and say, oh my God. There was a reproach that I will not carry except I was following Jesus. That became my lot and portion. And the woman I took from a professor's house, who was an only child for 15 years, was happy to stay with me in that condition. She knew I was earning money, but it won't translate to anything in our wardrobe. It won't translate to anything in our kitchen. Because we were living with people the same way you have copied my example. That part is the part that God uses to raise leaders. Oh, you can't slave for people. You can't take a hit because of people. It means you are small. You are a small man in a big body. Just like Adam. Adam was like 2 months old, but he was a full-grown man. You will look at his size and think there's something happening. He was a small man in a big body. He was no match for Satan. Yes. And on my job, I was very good. I was exceptionally good. Don't think. When I gave in my resignation, they rejected it the first time. I had to go and pray for 3 months before I gave it again. And the team passed. It was 2 weeks for me to write the exam that would make me a manager. 2 weeks. I would have had an office that's as big as this room. That's when the great monarch said, resign, resign now. Resign. If you see the progression, you will say, this is the spirit of reproach. You escaped something from the village. The thing has been haunting you. Has been haunting you. You are finally. He forsook Egypt. He damned the wrath of the king. And he endured. All of these possibilities was because there was a consciousness alive inside of his soul. He became captive to what he saw. He taken captive. So when I turned in my resignation, I was in the place of prayer when God says, okay, now, you are ready to begin to wield the scepter you were ordained to wield. The fact that you have a call doesn't mean you will fulfill it. No. If you like, accept the pathway of the flesh, you will fulfill Satan's prophecy for your life. Oh, Satan will pretend as if he has your interest in mind until he throws you into perpetual confusion. I've seen that in the lives of many people. It's only God. Allah, trust him in that valley. Trust him there. Trust him. Don't change the rhythm of the movement. If not, you will be exposed. He endured, for he saw him who is invincible. He saw him. He became captive. Just like Apostle Paul. He said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He was a captive of a certain vision of the heavens that he saw all through his life. This is the second spiritual sense, his sight. This is the instrument through which God brings men into spiritual captivity. Before God will give you revelation, you want revelation in the world? He will make you captive by visions first. There is no one who is not an ex-convict of Jesus that carries revelation. He must be a convict, bound by the revelations that he has put before your face. He endured because he saw him who is invisible. Yes. Who is invisible? I came to Abuja and I went to Zenith Bank to do a transaction. Then I now saw my colleagues that did not resign. I saw one of them that did not resign. Then I knew that God had mercy on me. What you are calling promotion is death. Follow God. Follow Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, by the mercy of God, I no longer join lines in banks. No, the moment I'm coming, there's a place we normally stay. I don't join lines again. We stay there. It's managers that bring us what we are looking for. I came and saw my colleague. He was trying to bring order to a line. May you endure. May you endure. May you endure. There was no place we went that people didn't know us. From the airport, police people will start serving us. From the airport. There are some airports we go to, we don't even see the immigration officers that stamp our passports. No, we are somewhere there. You came here. That's all. I'm talking about Europe, Africa, everywhere. You will never become that because you desire to be great. You will become that because you are foolish enough to follow the consciousness that was kindled. It is greatness that kindles that vision. It is greatness that allows that reproach to come upon you. It's greatness. That reproach, if you have the eyes, you will know that, oh, that's greatness. Working out his mystery in the life of this vessel. And when you deny the foolishness of greatness, you will party with excellencies that are not eternal. You are part of a reign that will not last forever. And your fears will fall upon you in the days to come. Sight is God's means of bringing men into captivity. Wise men allow themselves to be captive by the things they see in the spirit. Who for the hope that was set before him, the Bible speaking about Jesus, he endured the cross. There was something he saw that gave him the capacity to survive the cross. Despising the shame. Oh, who told you that there is no shame as one of the condiments of the actualization of destiny? There is shame in it. But it is greatness weaving out his mystery. Nobody will want to identify with you in that crucible of shame. No. This is not greatness. So anybody that follows you then has seen what is making you obedient. Those are the people God is giving you for destiny. You can bless people over there. You are blessed. But the people that will walk with you to the end are people that have also partakers of the things that you have seen. Those are the ones that understand the meaning of your process. So that's the next spiritual sight. Next spiritual sense is sight. Like I said, it is designed to bring you into captivity. Designed to make you perpetually choose God. Even though everything else will be reaching out to you, trying to secure your attention. He endured. As seeing him who is invincible. Hallelujah. Are you there? So we see the secret of miracles behind the life of Jesus in the book of John chapter 5. In John chapter 5 verse number 20, we see the secret of Jesus. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And it will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. So it's an act of the Father's love to show the Son the things that he's doing. So one of the manifestations of God's love is that he shows you what he's doing. He shows you. And when you see what he's doing, you rejoice, even though your circumstance does not change. Is one of the things it gives you to encourage you to survive the process. The Father loves the Son and showed him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. Verse 21. Are you there in 21? For as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickened whom he will. So, his miracle ministry was based on his spiritual sight. So it's what he sees the Father do, that's what he now does. So this is the way, if you have a crusade, a public meeting, where there are so many people, in order for you not to be ashamed on the platform, pray until you see the meeting. It's a sign of love. God, through his love, is willing to show you things. So the recipe for that is 7 hours tongues. Just pray in tongues for 7 hours. Your sight will open. You will enter into the realm of sight. The realm of sight is hidden in an energy level that takes a lot of prayer distance to achieve. Just like those of you that have a health watch. Samsung Galaxy Health Watch, Apple Health Watch. And they say you need to take 6,000 steps a day. And the watch records how many steps. So there are prayer journeys that you need to go, just like the health watch is recommending 6,000 steps for a healthy day. And most of you don't do up to 6,000. So, if you do the prayer journeys, you get to realms where sight, where the energy of sight is sustained. Yeah, so you see snapshots, you see pictures, you see clues, you see ideas, you see. So a real believer that doesn't have any other hope apart from God survives on these symptoms. But if you have other hopes, you have something else to trust. That's why you're not invest enough to come into the realm of sight. And every day you are confused. And I've seen anointed, confused people. The fact that you're anointed doesn't deliver you from confusion. Someone came to my office and said, an angel appeared to him. I said, I believe you. You know, I don't doubt again. Said, an angel of Jesus appeared to him. That God, in fact, he resigned from the ministry where he was working because God said, he's going to be with me. I said, oh my God, we've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for long. So we wanted to induct him into our culture. So I called Donatus. Can you take him through 7 hours prayer just to create ventilation? Let the valves of his spirit open up. He has not reported for the prayer today. He is yet to report. We are still waiting for him. You are not willing to make this investment. It means that you are wiser than the great one inside. Because this is how the great one guides his people. And God is so, so in love with you that he will not leave you in the dark. His love will motivate him to give you some pictures. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him the things that himself doeth. Show what. Sometimes you see that God will show you some things now. It was designed to come to pass in 12 years. So why will God be troubling me, haunting me with something that is more than one decade away? He knows that I will make mistakes that will disqualify me from that goal. So he begins to torment me with it from now. So that he can gather my work and make me accurate. It's an act of love. Because he sees the end from the beginning. So he begins to haunt you with visions. He haunts you. So that he can make you a captive to his spirit. Because of what you are seeing, you want to be accurate so that you will fulfill it. Brings you into captivity. The Bible says that he endured. He endured. Have you prayed for 12 years? I mean, you don't have any other agenda, no more strategy. That is the strategy. We can't endure. And when we stop hearing, we became wise. You can't endure. If you have not prayed for 10 years, you don't know the power of prayer. No, you don't know it. All of you complaining here, have you prayed for 10 years consistently, 2 hours every day for 10 years? If you have not done it, you are an orphan. You are an orphan. You are an orphan. You are not covered. If you have not paid tithe for 10 years, you don't know the power of tithe. You don't know why God said pay tithe. You can sit in a debate room and you are debating tithe because you don't know it. You have not given sacrificially for 10 years. You don't know the power of giving. Next time when they talk, keep quiet. You don't know it. The Bible says he endured. He continued doing what he was doing. He didn't change. Some people say, God said this. Small pressure, they change. Say this. That's the weak faith. The unreliable faith that we have modeled. If God doesn't go far with you, what is the hope of our children? What would they believe? He endured. Can you pray a prayer where you are seated? Give me the grace to endure. The grace to survive the storm. The grace to rise above the contradiction. The grace to go deep in my spirit. Go wide in my spirit so that my spirit will sustain my infirmity. For it is written that the spirit of a man shall sustain his infirmity, but a broken spirit, who can bear? Give me the grace to endure, to survive the storm, to survive everything going on the external environment designed to catch my attention. Let your luxury, your entertainment in my spirit be louder than every distraction on the outside. Give me the capacity to endure, to endure, to endure, to endure, to endure. Saikopena ikembala. Vizoseni akompe doze kabakunde. Braske fode mahambokoda. He endured the grace to stand, the grace not to retreat in the face of the storm. He did not consider the wrath of the king. Oh, he endured because he saw him who is invincible. God, we call upon you. Make us deep. Give us roots that pierce deep, deep into you, so that when the storms come, we will be found standing. In the name of Jesus. When you see a man that falls, maybe temptation came and he fell to temptation. He did not fall because of temptation. He fell because of his foundation. He was not deep enough. He was not deep enough. He didn't build deep enough. When you see a man that fails in the face of battle, it is not a battle that was the problem. It was because his strength was small. Grow deep in the spirit. Grow large in the spirit. A time will come where the storm can no longer make you afraid. Glory to God. All right, so we have two more senses. One of which, so we saw the knowing of revelation. This number two is the sight of affection. The sight of affection. It's the Father's love that furnishes this sight. So it's called the sight of affection, the knowing of revelation, the sight of affection. We have what is called the hearing of faith. You know that, so I'm not going to go into it. The hearing of faith. The hearing of faith is in that that crucible that we can hear the voice of God. It's not that the voice was audible, but the voice was in your spirit. It's the hearing of faith, because the person close to you did not hear what you heard. All right, so you know the hearing of faith. We have a good example for it in the book of Acts chapter 10. When Peter went to the housetop to pray, and he was praying as a means of waiting for food. The Bible says he would have eaten food. If food was available, he would have ate food. But he looked for a spiritual way to wait for food. So that prayer was not any serious prayer. It was just a strategy. Amen. And it was in the midst of that carnal disposition of prayer that he saw that vision. So the vision was not occasioned by his prayer. They were looking for him to pretend to be praying so that they can. Heaven used those metaphors or pictures to speak to him. But what had taken place in heaven was that a meeting had been held. That the gospel needs to reach the Gentiles. The gate of the kingdom of God must be opened. And Peter was chosen as the personnel to power the gospel to the Gentiles. That was why he saw the vision. And why God was trying to disclose to him the wondrous things that were sustained in heaven. Peter said, "Not so, Lord." He knew it was the Lord, but he rejected his hand. It was because of that statement that Paul was chosen. There are two actors in the book of Acts. Peter and Paul. Paul became a choice because Peter said, not so, Lord. There are small things you will do that will reduce your faculties. When you go deep enough in the spirit, you will not understand the implication of small things. Because in our own world, we say, that's a small thing that can be overlooked. No, it can't. The policy direction of heaven was made bare to him. We have chosen you. You think? Imagine the debate that went on in heaven. Because God takes counsel with his elders. Right? So, imagine the debate. And then they say, okay. Peter. All right. So they sent one of the cherubims to give him a vision of glory. To steal the consciousness. To awaken the consciousness in him. That would drive him to the Gentiles. The moment the consciousness came and he denied it. That was the last time. So there are civilizations in the spirit. As you are sitting now, you don't know the scope of your calling. Because when you begin to fulfill one, and heaven considers you an excellent student, they will open up that one. It is your faithfulness to one that will. So there are new callings that are occasioned by faithfulness that will be opening up. And those callings will determine your new powers, your new dimension. You might start as an evangelist. And end up as an apostle. You must have seen where I started from. I started as a teacher. So the powers of teaching will remain with me for life. That's where I started. Sunday school teacher. Sunday morning. I pray in tongues all night. To share a few scriptures, it will burn on the hearts of men. Then heaven decided to consider me. Do you know how many years it took before I announced that I would teach nations? He said, and thou child shall be called a prophet of the highest. He was not a prophet, but he had to be brought into the prophetic. Because of the need on ground, thou child shall be called a prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. There was nobody in the land to prepare the ways of the Lord. So they had to make him a prophet. The grace of the prophetic had to come to him. Thou child shall be called a prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Oh, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. A new mandate opened because there was no man on ground. See, there can be no man on ground and God will give you new callings, additional callings to what he called you to do before. And your faculties will increase. What you never saw that you could be, grace to become it. You see, it's not about you, it's about the capacity that the Holy Spirit releases. The capacity releases. Then you now see that a mortal man can mount up with wings into the heart of Zion to receive counsel for the Lord for nations. And when you look at him, you will wonder, why was he chosen? Because none of us looks like the glory of our calling. You will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Yeah? Verse 77. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of your sins. 78. Through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high and visited us. Oh! So his rising was a day spring. Something that brought the downing of a new economy upon the land. Just one man's rising. Because he was aligned with God. He was giving powers beyond his ordination. Because the land was dry. There were no people trusting in God again. So his calling had to be robust. To make up for gaps and lost orbitals and the functions of the kingdom of God. Do you know how many gaps exist in our time? How many gaps? How many people have gone to chase shadows and left callings, left witnesses? You know how many gaps? And the Spirit of God hovers over the land to find people that could receive new callings, new ordinations. Thou, child, shall be called a prophet of the highest. So my journey had begun as a teacher. And my strongest powers will always be in this life. But I can climb from here to Zion. I can climb high and see through the eyes of God. No, maybe when we come this evening. It was because people refused to follow him. He said, okay, I add this to you. I add that. I add this. A day came, I called my wife. I said, what am I? What am I, self? Yes, for to him that has more will be given. And to him that had not, even that which he has, will be taken away. Then the Lord opens my eyes and I see Africa without doctrine, without clear sound from heaven. And he said, breed upon this continent. And as he gave that mandate, he began to open the doors. For every platform he gives me the opportunity to stand for, he gives me a clear cut emphasis to make. Not an ambiguous delivery, but the distinctiveness of sound that comes from Zion above with the attendant wisdom to build it into the hearts of men. You will never see greatness in the kingdom of God will never be by accident. If you don't have a track record of obedience, you are going nowhere. For the former three times have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So, Jesus' life of obedience was the foundation of his teaching ministry. He had 30 years of obedience to support 3 years of teaching. 3 years and a little of teaching. So, 1 decade of obedience to 1 year of teaching. That was why his teaching ministry had authority. You think you go to a theological school and you come out a harbinger. I'm not despising the need to go to theological school. As I am now, I'm doing an advanced theological program. You're aware of that. In fact, that's why we came late, because I had to attend lectures. All right? I had to attend lectures. We finished lectures by 1:35. So, and then the flight took off from according to... the flight took off 3:30 to Abuja because of lecture. So I'm a theologian. So I'm not trying to. Yes, I've gone to. He gave me a gift. I went to develop it. And even now, the rigor, I'm still in it now. Trying to build more capacity to be able to serve the kingdom with articulate deliveries. A blend of truth and spirit. So that the sound of God will no longer be foreign to the ears of mortal men across the nations of the world. It is a seed that will grow because you are willing to follow the light of consciousness kindled by the Holy Ghost, and you journey with him from place to place. And as you journey, that's how you find your wife, because of our alignment. As you journey, you find your place. But if you are walking in the flesh, you are a stranger, an orphan, traversing the wilderness of nothingness. And when you are old, you find out that you were lost from time immemorial. I choose to have a shepherd. The still small voice of the Holy Ghost that leads men out of the wilderness, out of the swamp, out of the forest, raises them from the dust, from the dunghill, and causes them to sit among the princes of the earth. I will follow that light. I will follow that voice. I will follow its illumination. Even if it leads me to the desert, to the wilderness, to a war front, to storm. The safest place to be in the lost battle is on the front lines. On the front lines. I will not slack. I will not develop cold feet. Because the one that calls us, he himself, he overcame. His life example is the credential that overcomers will yet emerge. Oh my God. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people. Through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. Alright, go back to 1 Samuel as I round up. 1 Samuel 3:7, then 1 Samuel 3:21, and I'll take my seat. So there are two other senses, one of which is the taste of discernment, the taste of discernment. For the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. It is when you decide to be foolish enough to obey God. In your obedience to God, you will find out that he is faithful. Do not hear the testimony of a man about God who has not been obedient to him, because he doesn't know the truth. You will need to experience him through obedience to his counsel, to his instruction, for you to see that indeed he is good. Test and see, for the Lord is good. That's the taste of discernment. So let me leave that and go back to the lecture. Let's go back to the lecture. I veered off from this scripture to provide that support. So we come back here. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. So you know how to know God. You discern him through your spiritual senses. As the Holy Spirit comes to furnish your spiritual senses with a requisite illumination that gives you the consciousness of the emphasis of heaven. Present revelation position of the Spirit. He did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord revealed to him. What is the reason why he needs to train to know how to discern the Lord is because he needs to become proficient in receiving the word of the Lord. All right. Now, so the question is, why is the word of the Lord so important? Verse 21. Have you heard of the great Samuel, the great prophet, that his words never fell to the ground? You know how God trained him? It's in verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh. How? So God was training him to come to a point where he can receive the word of the Lord. That's why he had to train him to know the Lord, to discern the Lord, so that he can now understand the words coming from the Lord. The first thing is to discern the Lord. Then the second thing is to be able to understand the words coming from the Lord. Samuel was raised by the words coming from the Lord. And I hope you know he had no Bible. And the Lord revealed him, he appeared again in Shiloh. How did he appear? You know, he appeared before. He appeared again. And the way he appeared was not different from how he appeared previously. But this time, the education started. He revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So, are you aware that some people, some lecturers in theology are not born again? So it's possible for you to do business with logos and not touch life at all. He revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Let me end by taking you to the book of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, then I end. In Matthew chapter 4, there is a situation here. Because previously from Matthew chapter 4, Jesus goes for baptism in the rivers of Jordan. And when he comes for baptism, the Father and the Son bears witness about his identity. Since he was a little boy, Satan, have been trying to locate his identity. A lot of random children were killed just to track him down, but he was not in the vicinity. So Satan has been on a very wild hunt for who the anointed one will be. And then we understand from the book of John chapter 1 the reason why John was given the ordinance of baptism. He was given the ordinance of baptism as a strategy to unveil who the Messiah will be. And the Bible reveals that when Jesus came to Jordan and he was praying, when he came out of the waters, the alignment of heaven was affected and the Holy Ghost fell on him in bodily shape like a dove. Then John remembered his marching orders in the wilderness. For it was said unto him, anyone upon whom the Holy Spirit descends and remains, it will be he that will baptize with fire. So it took a Baptist. You know, that's the order of Baptists. There is a Baptist that baptizes with water. His own capacity and rank is low. In fact, in the order of the Baptists, he's not worthy to untie the latchet of Jesus' standard. Because he, the implements with which he baptizes is the Holy Ghost. And what? And fire. Not physical fire. You are not following. He baptized it with spiritual fire. How many of you still remember the atmosphere of the revelation of the holiness of God in the book of Isaiah chapter 6? When seraphims were flying with six wings. Anytime you see seraphims in the Bible, just know that it's an atmosphere of holiness. Anytime you see cherubims in the Bible, just know it's an atmosphere of glory. Because the seraphims protect the holiness of God. And the cherubims protect the glory of God. So it was a revelation of the holiness of God that the prophet was brought to see. You notice that there was no evangelist in the arena. The guy just encountered that reality and began to confess in his sin. No, there was no evangelist saying, repent for the kingdom. You have not gone far enough. That's why you have left your lying tongue. There are places you go. The environment have inherent purging abilities. You will see the need for purging quickly. It was in that environment when the prophet acknowledged the vanity of his tongue that one of the seraphs went to where fire was, spiritual fire. As powerful as the seraphim was, so powerful, he had six wings. And he only needed two to fly. When he came to taking some of the fire to purge the tongue of the prophet, he couldn't take the fire with his hand. As powerful as that angel was, he needed an instrument to take a little of it. A coal that has been vitalized by the fire. So imagine the one that baptizes with the very element of fire. John the Baptist said, if you understand these things, you will know that I don't qualify. I am a Baptist. I am also in the cadre of the Baptist. But my rank doesn't qualify me to unlatch the standard. For he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I don't have time to digress. To show you the way of the altar. That those seraphims will appear again. Those cherubims that will appear again. And they will invest a little fire in your heart. With the tongues, they will invest.
that fire becomes the element that purifies you. And when there's falsehood in your generation, because the thing is burning, it gives you, it protects you from the corruption.
Oh my God. Oh my God. So there was a proclamation. There was a proclamation. Behold, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. That revelation, that disclosure came at the baptismal service of John. And suddenly, Satan now knew the individual he was up against, the one he's been looking for. He said, so you are the one. And immediately, Satan knew who he was because God wanted him and Satan to meet. So, the moment Satan knew his identity, the Holy Spirit drove him. He wanted to go to town and begin to minister. No, the Holy Spirit said, no, go to the wilderness, meet with Satan. He's looking for you. Now, if you were there in that baptism, if you were there for that baptism, you will hear how God spoke about him. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Those of you that were in the educational system at one point or the other, there are many alphabets that we use to grade our students. There's F. Do you know F? Okay. I don't know what is the bracket that sustains F. Now, 0 to what? 0 to 39. That's F. What is B? Okay. You have an idea of what I'm talking about. Now, the way the remarks the father made about Jesus suggested that he was an A student. He was A. Normally, in the university, when you have a distinction student, they employ them. They retain them. All right? But in the kingdom of God, the people that score A, their appointment with Satan is they create opportunities for you to meet with him. Oh, have you heard of Job? There was a man in the land of Oz whose name was Job. He was upright. You see, A. Then they made opportunity for him to meet with Satan. What God was saying, this is our product. Try our product. So we have company in-house tests. We have outsourced tests. If Mercedes-Benz produces an engine, before they can call it Mercedes-Benz, you put it on the bench, put oil, and it will run for 1,000 hours. If it can't run for 1,000 hours on the bench, it's not Mercedes-Benz. That's company test. But the test we are talking about is not company test. It's let's test it with weather and storm and fire and test it with Satan. Have you been tested? God will never use any stone that he has not tried. No stone. It is him that will set you up. He will arrange the meeting. Guess what? Jesus arrived the ground of the testing before Satan. For 40 days. He arrived 40 days before Tester. And he was not going into the wilderness to fast. He was going to be tested. It was him that decided that he would fast. Before you enter into marriage, go fast. Fast now. Don't go and say, you go and then you were in South Africa naked on Cape Town Beach, running, and say, that's how you are starting. It means that the person that wants to test you arrived before you. Okay. Jesus arrived before the test and has starved himself for 40 days. The flesh was shut down. Anything that could trigger his response in the flesh was shut down. He starved the flesh so that the flesh can't answer. Because this tester is not man, this tester is the spirit. When the tester came, he said, we've been hearing a title. Son of God, Son of God. People have been saying that in the market. But where I come from, we don't acknowledge this title. So, it seems it was you they were calling. Well, if you are indeed the son of God, if an arena to prove things, turn this stone to bread. And Satan was expecting him to move in the flesh, to want to prove himself. And if he does that, he will do what he did to Adam, to Jesus. And he will tell God, you sent Adam, I dealt with him. You sent Jesus, I dealt with him. Send another one. Now the question I'm asking now is, have you trusted the Spirit enough for you to stay in the Spirit? Even when there's a challenge for you to come out in the flesh, you will stay. Many of you will not survive that test. It's just like a man in an armor tank, and he has 20 soldiers taking cover with the tank as they were moving. Then a sniper comes, he picks one, picks two, picks three, picks four, picks 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Then the 20th one wanted to run in 50. As long as the guy in the tank is in the tank, the sniper can't do anything. The guy in the tank uses his binocular vision to track. He can't see. He said, let me open and... You understand that? So, the pressure was to make Jesus come out of his security of alignment. And Jesus made a statement. He said, Satan, are you aware that I was there in the beginning when God conceived the idea of man? In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, when he said, let us make man, I was there. So let me give you an idea of what God had in mind about man. Because in that particular scripture, Jesus was there as a man. So he now told him, you are not aware. Man was not designed to live by bread only. But man was designed to live by the word. The same thing that educated Samuel in Shiloh. The word of the Lord. That was how man was designed to live. By the word of the Lord. Now, if I check your library and I cannot find a diary where you have a documentary of every word you receive from God, and you can say, okay, I'm living this now. This is my reality now. He spoke in 1986. I'm living it. And if that is not your case, you are sheep without shepherd. Man shall not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word. That's how we were designed to believe. By every word. Everyone. That proceeds out of the mouth. You see, believers these days are not ready for anything. We like jumping and get excited over nothing. To build life in the spirit is as quiet as the growth of a plant. You will be alone in the night. Only you will survive it. Forget about the stage. When the preacher leaves the stage, then his own life of battles and challenges, they switch on. We live by the word of God. What God has said, that's how we live. If there is no clear-cut consistency in your followership of words that God spoke to you, then it means you have escaped the school that God called Samuel to enter. Because his education was according to what? The word of the Lord. That's the first prophet, the example of Samuel. We'll go in the evening, we'll move to Abraham. For every prophet, there was a recipe of how he was trained. Samuel was trained by the Dada word of God. So God comes and gives him an instruction. Then he goes and fulfills it. That in fulfilling it, he will learn the ways of God. Oh,
okay. Oh, this is what you had in mind. Then he comes back and says, oh, I didn't know. Yeah, yeah. He revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh. Bad. When he goes out to fulfill it, he learns. So he discovers that obedience to the counsel of God is the pathway of true sons. For there is a path which no fowl knoweth. He said, the vulture's eyes have not seen it. The lion's whelps have not trodden it. The fierce lions have not passed by it. He put forth his hands on the rock. He overturned the mountains by the roots. He cutted out rivers among the rocks, and his eyes see it. Every precious thing. He binded the floods from overflowing, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to life. But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? He said, no fowl has looked upon that path. That's the path he has designed for his sons to walk. Those that are willing to put to practice, to put to use the Dabar word of God. It's a place that lions cannot bear, angels cannot look into. But he calls his sons to walk the path so that they can learn his ways. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh and revealed himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. So we will run, we will not be weary. We will walk, we will not be faint. For the Lord, he will go before us, and his words will be our strength. His words will be our strength. We will not be weary. We will not be weary. We will not faint. We will not faint. We will not faint. The Lord, he will go before us. His word will be our strength. His word. By the word. By the word. I will work in the light of his word. I will walk according to the rhythm of his word. Yeah, I will walk. I will walk with him. I will walk as he speaks. He is the modicum of wisdom. I will depend upon him as he leads me on. I will walk and I will not fail. Kuseniamo kabesuse hikedia. And Bahabose Kaboko, man, and I compare Brasketobelaco, Ingo Bembola Simo, Prestade, Kabosabokotala, Prescopecozike Mahalaita. I will not faint. Someone needs to pray against every fainting spirit. Anything that makes you feeble, makes you weak, makes you faint, receive strength in your inner man. Call upon the name of the Lord. Samama melomena, semenota, semenota melanule na mama. Ose la mama manote na. Help us to walk with you, O great one, O great one. Semina mane praska petoga. Ah. Aile mama le mome ma brote mama ma le kome na mai. Press into this, this glory. Pale tombre taba pa kombre tamai. It's you and I, oh God, oh God, oh God. Let me not be like Samson, who did not know that the Spirit has departed. Oh God, God. I see the baratama me, my Lord.
Ah! In Yeshua's name of faith, we are going to lift up one more prayer unto God. It's a very strange prayer. But when Papa was ministering, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said the opening of seal is only for sacrificed lambs. We are going to say, God, make me a lamb sacrificed for the opening of seals. The first fruit of 18 is usually the sacrificial lamb. Oh, make me a sacrifice. Hey, for the opening of the seal of Africa. For the opening of the true prophetic fountain, make me. Haile Mamasa, make this a prayer from your heart. The sacrifice. Let me know the way of the altar. For a ten man that I am inside, who shall save me from myself? My life, Jesus, you make more and more. For a gentleman that I am inside, who shall save me from myself? In my darkest night, you became.
In Jesus' name we pray.